This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Wrongly. It doesn't seem to me that they are intimidated by any type of censorship over the social media. But when it comes to real activism, real engagement in the community, of course there are limitations. Traditions to gender norms in their community, some of them are related to poverty, lack of resources, lack of ability. And some of them are related to being afraid of getting harassed by officials.
But some activists do publicly challenge Gaza's conservative policies, including those that restrict women's rights. In a modern cafe in Gaza City, 30-year-old journalist and blogger Asmal Khul says she's had personal encounters with the authorities. In 2011, she was arrested and beaten twice for covering and participating in demonstrations organized by a Palestinian youth movement.
All the time inside the jail, they threatened me if I wrote the article about this. Something bad will happen for me and for my son. And this is my weak point. In February 2011, they also investigated with my father. In December 2010, they took my brother because of my writing. So in the end, I find myself, I am watching myself, like there's censorship inside me. So I stopped writing because I cannot write in my blog with all these rules inside me and red lines.
Al-Khul has been recognized several times for her journalism, including the Courage in Journalism Award in 2012 from the International Women's Media Foundation. Although authorities have been successful in getting activists and especially women away from the streets, Al-Khul says she's happy to see online activism among women growing. But she says many focus on the Israeli occupation and neglect other problems in Palestinian society, such as honor crimes, early marriages, and political prisoners in Palestinian prisons.
There is some bloggers, they said we have all our rights and we don't have any problems as a woman in Gaza. And this is really sad. Always because we are Palestinian and because we should protect the resistance. So we shouldn't talk about our bad situation. But for how long we will be these liars?
Women's political involvement in society is also affected by the reality of day-to-day life in the occupied territories, says Sayan from UN Women. A recent report by the group concludes that the financial hardships created by the Israeli blockade are changing gender roles in Gaza.
Women are more economically active. Women are more assuming roles in the household than they used to, which is affecting their role in society and their position. Look, I mean, economic empowerment is key to political participation and political empowerment. So if we want women to pursue their freedom of expression, we need them to be empowered economically. We need them to be able to have a financial stability so they can basically ask for other rights.
Sayan says there is still a long ways to go. Although a growing number of women in Gaza are pursuing higher education and getting university degrees, more than 40% are unemployed. And with an overall poverty level also at 40%, many women in Gaza have more pressing concerns than activism, says Sayan. But the female bloggers that do exist say they will continue to fight for greater equality, respect and dignity, both in the streets and online. Lina Otgor, FSRN, Gaza.
And that's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Kalb. Thanks for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
This is KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net. Welcome to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and tonight we're going to be focusing on Exodus International. Actually, we're going to be focusing on the closing of Exodus International. And if you've not heard of this organization, I should let you know, this is the oldest and largest, or it was the oldest and largest Christian ministry dealing with faith and homosexuality, and very recently they issued an apology to the gay community for years of undue suffering and judgment at the hands of the organization and the church as a whole. Tonight, we welcome Catherine Chapman and Chris Hyde, both who were involved with Exodus International. We also welcome Sister Chrissy Fiction from Portland's Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. We'll be speaking about the past with Exodus International, as well as the present, and we'll be focusing on that apology, and we'll also be talking about the future and what might be next. But before we move into our interview, I'd like to let you know how to connect with us online. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to email us at outloudradio@gmail.com. If you connect on Facebook, you can find us at KBOO Out Loud on Facebook. We are also on Twitter at KBOO Out Loud. Now, in just a few moments, we'll be back to speak with our guests about the ending of Exodus International. But first, I'd like to take a short music break. There's been a lot of celebration in the gay and lesbian and transgender community this week, thanks to the Supreme Court ruling on Proposition 8. We'll speak a little bit about the end of Proposition 8 when we come back to the show, but I'd like to offer up a musical that kind of explains Proposition 8 if you're not familiar with it. So here we are, Proposition 8, the musical.
It's a brand new bright Obama day. What a time to be
black, a girl,
or gay.
No, nothing could go wrong. So join us in this song of happy days for the gays. Nothing can go wrong.
Look, nobody's watching. It's time to spread some hate and put it in the Constitution.
Now, how?
Proposition 8.
Proposition 8.
Great.
People, listen to our plea. They'll teach kids about
sodomy.
Sodomy.
That wasn't right. That's a lie.
But it worked, so we don't care.
Now you wish we'd all shut up,
but make our clothes and fix our hair.
And our love's not a sin.
Well, the Bible says it so.
Well, the Bible says a lot of things, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, how's it going?
Jesus, doesn't the Bible say these people are an abomination?
Abomination?
Yeah, but you know, it says the exact same thing about this shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail?
Leviticus says shellfish is an abomination.
Abomination?
What else does the Bible say, Jesus?
The Bible says a lot of interesting things. Like you can stone your wife or sell your daughter into slavery.
Well, we ignore those verses.
Well, then, friend, it seems to me you pick and choose.
We pick and choose.
Well, please choose love instead of hate. Besides, your nation was built on separation of church and state.
See you later, sinners.
Bye, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
You know, here's another thought to wrap things up.
Oh, every time a gay or lesbian finds love at the parade, there's money to be made.
He's right!
It's time to groom, say, paint that wedding hall, and lavender's the shade. There's money to be made.
That's a point!
Think of all the carriages and
four white horses.
There's millions lost from all your disapproving.
Well, that's not good.
Think of all the lawyers for the gay divorces. Think of the tattoo removing.
We get it now. We've been such fools.
I can see America's calling me. Yes, gay marriages will save the
That was Proposition 8, the musical, and a big cheers and a hearty thank you to everyone in California and across the country who worked to help defeat Proposition 8. If you hadn't noticed in the news this past week, the Supreme Court ruled and basically shot Proposition 8 down, and marriages between same-gender couples have resumed in the state of California. There's a lot more good news to that story, but just wanted to share that musical with you to celebrate the ending of Proposition 8. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Out Loud. This is the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and tonight we're going to be focusing on the ending of Exodus International, and perhaps even celebrating the ending of Exodus International. We have three guests that are joining us here on the show this evening. First, I would like to welcome Sister Chrissy Fiction. Welcome back to the show, Sister.
Hi, it's good to be here again.
And it's exciting to have you back. I also want to take a moment and welcome Chris Hyde to the show. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
And we also have Catherine Chapman with us. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much.
Now, I'd like to start with Chrissy, and for folks that don't know, please give us a little bit of background about the Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and the great work and important work that the sisters are doing here in Portland.
Well, the sisters are a modern-day order of queer nuns for the LGBT community. So just like the Roman Catholic nuns that you might be familiar with, we serve, we educate, we heal our community. So a lot of what we do is safer sex education and outreach. We do fundraising for other like-minded community organizations, and we spread joy and promulgate bliss.
And there's a whole group of you, I guess. I want to acknowledge, I'm talking about the Portland Sisters, because you are based here in Portland, but this is a much larger organization, correct?
Oh, yes. We're worldwide. So they started in 1979 down in San Francisco. It's kind of like the mothership. Mm-hmm. And but there's orders all over the U.S., even in Salt Lake City and down in the Deep South. It's really crazy how it's spreading so much. But we have also houses in London, Berlin, Paris, and Australia. So we are all over. You can find your local white-faced clown anywhere you go, almost.
Mm-hmm. It's spreading the joy. And there are many, many religious overtones. I mean, we are going to be bringing it back to some religion conversation here. But where can folks find the Portland Sisters online?
www.portlandsisters.org is our website. You can also go online to Facebook. If you do a search for Portland Sisters, we will pop up. But Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Fabulous. And yes, they do show up at many, many different community events. So, and I also want to take a moment and share your story around your evangelical past. And there's going to be so much more conversation this evening, but just to let folks know, you're doing Sisters now, but a few layers of your story.
Yeah, if you talked to me about 10 years ago, I'd have no idea that one day I would become a drag queen clown nun, that would be my ultimate destiny. Mm-hmm. My past does involve ministry in a conservative Lutheran denomination, so that's most of my training. I spent about 10 years in the ex-gay movement, which basically trying to change my orientation or hide my orientation. I was married to a woman at one point and was in ministry in Brazil and in Texas. And I finally moved to Portland in 2001 and kind of started my life over and started discovering who I was.
Wow. And thank you for sharing. And thank you for finding, I found you through the sisters. And so your path has continued to do great work, but we'll talk more about your past in just a few moments.
Okay.
I want to let Chris tell our listeners, you were also involved with Exodus International, but give us a little sample of your background and what brought you here today.
Basically, when I was about 18, I found God. And really pursued growing in that relationship with God. And that took me down a path of eventually feeling called to be a pastor. And I knew that I was gay from the time that I was quite young, probably 12 years old. And yet, back in the 80s, you know, late 70s and early 80s, that was not something that anybody would admit to. And then when I got involved in churches, the same message came and it said, you need to hide it. You can't be that. God doesn't want you to be that. And so as I got into seminary, I discovered Exodus International. And all of a sudden, there was this ministry that said, you don't have to be gay. And you can change, and it's possible. And I thought, wow, there is my the thing that I've been looking for, because I really wanted to be a married man. I really wanted to live what I thought was a normal life. And what ended up happening was I went through 2 years of counseling with a local Exodus ministry. I got married during that time. I was married for 19 years and was a pastor in evangelical churches for all of that time. And it was just about a year and a half ago that I came out and ended being a pastor for the time being, and life has taken a big change.
Well, welcome to Out Loud.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your story. And I look forward to hearing what's next for you. And also, listeners, I hope you stay tuned, because we're going to be sharing a lot more stories about Exodus International and, you know, stories from here in the room as well as outside in the world. And what's been going on with Exodus has really been remarkable. So I want to give Catherine some time and let our listeners know you also were involved with Exodus International, and give us a little bit of your background.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My story parallels Kurt and Chris's. I was raised in a conservative Christian home. And when I realized that I had same-sex attractions, which is as much as I called them for many, many years, I knew that that was unacceptable. And I desperately wanted to be accepted and to be loved and to be good enough. And in my circle that I lived in this conservative community, this didn't fit, absolutely didn't fit. So in my quest to be normal and good and acceptable, I did get married, and I was married for 20 years. 10 years into marriage, I fell in love with a woman, and that just kind of cracked everything open in the marriage. I went to a local Exodus affiliate here to try desperately to, again, be acceptable, to not blow my world apart as I knew it, and did 2 years of that program and then went on staff with them and was on staff with them for many years until 2007, actually. And I regret that. I really regret that I spent that amount of time sending that message out into the world, and that it took me that long to accept myself as a person. Just to say who I am and who I have always been is good and acceptable, and I am beautiful as I am, and I don't have to change me. I just have to actually be okay with me. And once I started making that transition, my life started changing. I left the Exodus ministry I'd been working at 2 years later. I left my marriage. And then I've just been in this process of liking who I am. And it's been the greatest last couple years of my life, actually, to just feel good in my skin and be okay with me.
Right on. Thank you for sharing. That was Catherine. Thank you. That's very powerful. And I appreciate what you're saying about liking yourself and being good enough and being happy with where you are. And thank you so much for coming to the show and sharing your story tonight. And I know Chris and Sister Chrissy are going to have some very powerful stories to share as well. And listeners, I'm hoping you'll stay tuned. We're going to be focusing on the ending of Exodus International for the whole hour with these three guests. And we will be taking some short music breaks. But I want to continue on in the conversation around change and acceptance. And Sister Chrissy, can you speak to a little bit of the work? I know that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence really does some excellent messaging on individuals around their faith and the joy and accepting themselves and around sexuality as well. I mean, just acknowledging out loud, this is a queer show. One of the things I love about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is they accept and encourage everyone to be themselves.
Well, that's really our core message. So when we become a fully professed sister, because it's a process to become a Sister of Perpetual Indulgence, almost all of us, no matter where we are, we talked earlier about all these different parts of the country and world, almost all of us take very similar vows to promulgate universal joy and expiate stigmatic guilt. So those are big words, but promulgate means to announce. Right, so we're announcing joy and love, and expiate is like a churchy word for fix or repair, and stigmatic guilt is guilt that's been placed on you by outside sources. So you're a fag, you're a dyke, whatever the labels or the words that have been used to shame you are. So I guess in plain language, our message is that you're not defined by the labels that other people put on you, or even the labels that you put on yourself. You're loved. You're worth. You're loved. You're worth loving, just the way you are. No exceptions. Period. And we're here to remind you of that as often as we can. And so, when Catherine was talking about that, that really actually warmed my heart, because that's like our core message of just self-acceptance. And it's, you know, you mentioned faith. And we're not a faith organization. We're not a religious organization, but we do we use satire and spiritual satire in a way to free people, because for so many people, that's been an oppressive system for them. And so when we satirize it or use humor, in a sense, it frees people to kind of laugh about it and to kind of come out from underneath that oppression. Or that sense of oppression that they've had. Mm-hmm. So that really is our core message. And so I loved hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That just speaking right now was Sister Chrissy Fiction, part of the Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And before that, thank you to Catherine Chapman for sharing your story. And Chris Hyde is also here at the table with us. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. And you're listening to Out Loud, the queer culture show on KBOO. Tonight, we're celebrating and focusing on the ending of Exodus International. This music break is from Alex Olson, titled Holy Human.
Underscore, as he said, the Lord spake. Underscore, the Lord spake. Do you see it? God said, the Lord spake. God spoke. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Faith cometh by hearing.
Someone slapped a Jesus Saves sticker on the side of my new car. Someone sketched Just Trust in God, You Fool on the flat top face of a Nevada boulder. Oh, there were little blue and pink crosses on a wide stretch of Iowa corn. Some Christian soldier paid to paint the fetus on 3 miles of Missouri billboards. Some chick carved a Corinthian quote on the rest stop bathroom wall. I was politely warned I should plan to burn on a baby blue flyer outside of a Kansas strip mall. And I slam on my brakes in Tipton, Georgia. The sign says Turfgrass Capital of the World. I take a Polaroid to remember all the possibility in self-created awards. And on the back roads, when I take my time, I'm shifting past hand-lettered signs for sweet tea and boiled peanuts. And back on the interstate, I'm steering past scared cows in the line and Bible factory outlets. Sturdy mass productions like Trendy Purses or The Pursed Lips of Thought. Like the school pledge I untaught myself. You know, a God that only blessed America was a God I did not want.
Take God's word, poke your soul in and saturate yourself with it.
It's never creation that's the problem, but the way that it's abused. You know, Oppenheimer changed his mind once he saw how the bomb was used. You gotta watch how your God is used. Church and state, the Holy Crusade to try and separate them. In southern sodomy laws with Supreme Court status. Priests praying little boys, instructing sinners to Hail Mary. Chosen people, choosing property. Exiling the rest of God's people to poverty. Exhaling global women's bodies in pro-choice clinics. Inhaling power dynamics at the expense of holy human beings. You gotta watch how your God is used. How your God is used. How your God is used. And I'm piling on my own regrets. Like communion wafers on my tongue. And I'm gobbling up forgiveness for all the things I have not said or done. Still, I am a proud slut. I've slept with lots of good ideas. I just know which ones I like. And I'm appraising the Lord on these little country roads. Cause every theory has a human price. Every theory, every theory, every theory has a human price.
This is no child's play.
I'm sobbing along now to some father-daughter story where daughter lost childhood and daddy found the Lord. I'm cruising through our holy land. It's a highway of nightlights now. I think America is scared of the boogeyman. I bet that little girl could tell you exactly where he could be found. And in daddy's little story, his sacred battled his profane. And I'm stomping on the gas, restraining my temptation to dial up this local Georgia station. What if I hold my profane sacred? I'll say, what if I emancipate this dirty world with the dirty words that I am waging? What if I worship reverence? My poems are my saviors. Saviors, holy, 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 I remain devoted to the brazen pioneers. Yeah, I include your Jesus amongst the thinkers who were heroes. But see, it's the fearless. It's the fearless, not the pious, who lead the masses in my church. It's the masses, it's the grounded, who do the holy human work. My toes, gripping the ground, I'll reach for the stakes of whatever people's prayer we sing. Cause I am not an unbeliever, I just put deep faith in human things, in holy human beings, holy human beings, holy human beings. I just put deep faith in human
it's the masses,
things.
Not the holy. Heavens, do the holy human work. It's the masses, not the heavens, do the holy human work. It's the masses, not the heavens, who do the holy human work. It's the masses, not the heavens, who do the holy human work.
That song was from Alex Olson, titled Holy Human. She spelled that W-H-O-L-L-Y, Holy Human. You are listening to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and tonight we are focusing on the ending of Exodus International. We have in studio Sister Chrissy Fiction from the Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. We also have Chris Hyde and Catherine Chapman with us as well. Now, Chris, I'd like to take just a few moments and give our listeners some background on what was Exodus International and what was really going on. What were they doing to gay and lesbian individuals?
The whole premise behind Exodus International is there's this conflict between your faith and sexuality, and so they wanted to change you. And so I went into that because I wanted to change. And what I found was, for 2 years, I met weekly with a counselor who basically tried to help me to become more masculine, to get my needs for love from other men met in non-sexual ways. That was one of their big things. You got to get your love tank filled in a way that's not sexual, because that would be sinful, and to feel more confident in who they would say you are in Christ. And so it involved a lot of spirituality, reading the Bible, memorizing scripture, basically using those as tools to help you learn, as I see now, learn how to stuff it. And so in 2 years, I learned to be a professional stuffer of my sexuality. And unfortunately, what happens when you stuff it is it finds ways to come out. because there's no way that you can keep who you are just stuffed inside. And so it finds ways slowly but surely to come out. And that's ultimately what destroyed a lot of my marriage. And it was very difficult over the years to be seeing this stuff come out when I was supposed to be married, in love with my wife, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider that, I guess we've heard so much about reparative therapy, and is stuffing it part of that, would you say?
Well, everything that I just explained is reparative therapy. Okay. It's basically trying to take this, it's based on the premise that as a gay man, basically that you had this father wound, that you had a absent or distant father, an overbearing mother, and so you need to repair that. By basically getting these needs met in other ways. And so that's what it's all about. And ultimately, it's about stuffing it, because as I found, I thought 2 years into it that I was becoming victorious and successful with it. What I didn't realize was I had just become a master at stuffing it. And you can't do that forever.
Right. It sounds like a lot of work just to keep that stuff
hidden.
Oh, so
much work. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to clarify that Exodus was a referral organization, a referral ministry, like an umbrella organization. So there were affiliate programs all over the country. So, like in my case, I went to a program associated with Exodus in the San Francisco Bay Area. So they directed you to the local programs, and some of the local programs differed in their techniques and everything. So I wouldn't say I went through reparative therapy so much. It wasn't really therapy, but my program that I went to was more kind of almost like a group kind of therapy kind of thing. We would all get together and sing songs, church songs, spiritual songs, and then the men and the women would split off and talk about individual experiences and struggles with things like masturbation, and because that's evil,
right?
And just struggles with masculinity, with all of those things. And I would agree with Chris. I think on the bottom line, it kind of gets you to a point where it just makes you question who you are as a person, as a man. There's something wrong with me fundamentally as a man.
Yeah, and that's really what it's all about. It's that you don't measure up, and that you've got this thing that's made you tarnished, and you're not okay. And I'm sure you experience that as well.
Right. And it doesn't really matter what kind or what form the reparative therapy takes, or what kind of ministry that you go to. The bottom line is that you feel that who you are is innately sinful, because that is what it said. Some of them are less conservative. So it's this message that you may be gay or have same-sex attractions, but you cannot act on those because that is sinful. And so it's hard to try to figure out, well, how do I separate that out? You're saying that who I am is sinful, or you're saying that what I do, if I do it, is sinful. Is there really that much of a disconnect that can be made, internally? How do you manage that? There's no way to say who you are naturally, what you do naturally is sinful, and not have it be something you internalize as something wrong with you.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about Exodus that they try and do is delineate or separate out your identity versus what you do. And for those of us that have been through it, and those of us that are gay, we know that's our identity. That's the core of who we are. And for so many years, I know we all tried to stuff who we were because that wasn't okay to the church. And that's what was so damaging.
And I'm so glad you're all here today, and that you've kind of come around and you've come out of this okay, to the point that you're okay talking about it publicly. Just to acknowledge, there's a lot more to your story that we can't get to today, but thank you so much for sharing these stories. Hopefully we're reaching out to some people that are also struggling, or maybe sitting in the same confusion about themselves. I want to ask each of you, though, again, how old were you when you found Exodus, or when you started with this program?
I was about 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So just coming out of, I was in college, actually. So my first year of college, when I had this whole conflict about, I was starting to get involved in a local church, but also I was coming out as a gay man, and I was having this whole conflict about I couldn't live both, I couldn't be both. I had to choose one or the other. And so at the time, I chose the conservative Christian path and Exodus, and went down that path.
Heavy sigh. And how about you, Chris? How old were you?
I think it was about 24 or so, and I did it for 2 years and graduated so that I could get married during that time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then how about you, Catherine? How old were you when you and Exodus found each other?
I think I was 29. I've been sitting here trying to do the math. Yeah. I believe I was about 29. It's about 10 years into marriage, so perhaps I was 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I want to also kind of let our listeners know, we've been kind of hinting at or talking about Exodus International is going away, that they're closing down, but Exodus International versus what's going on in local communities across the country or across the world. Maybe if I could ask someone to speak to that difference, again, the difference between Exodus International going away versus what's going to keep happening now.
Well, the current president of Exodus was Alan Chambers, and so he recently issued an apology to the LGBT community and basically stating that they weren't going to seek a change in orientation. And both Chris and Catherine were there with him on the Lisa Ling program. And he's basically said that they're closing down Exodus, but that doesn't mean that the local ministries will close necessarily. We don't know what will happen with those. Like, some of them may continue on independently. Some of them may affiliate with another organization. Some of them may close also.
Okay. Let me catch up our listeners. If you've just joined the conversation, you're listening to Out Loud. This is the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and that was Sister Chrissy Fiction, who was just speaking. And on tonight's show, we're focusing on Exodus International closing down and perhaps even celebrating the ending of Exodus International. We have Chris Hyde with us, as well as Catherine Chapman, who both were involved in different ways with Exodus International. And I want to give you both a chance to speak to the experience you had recently when Alan Chambers did apologize. And maybe just maybe Catherine, if you could offer a little bit of background about how Lisa Ling put together this show. It's actually on TV, or it's been airing on TV, but basically, how did it come to be that you and Alan Chambers were in the same room?
One of my friends is Michael Bussey, and he is the original founder of Exodus International, and he went on 3 years later to renounce the ministry, and since that time has been trying to shut it down. And when I left ministry, I didn't know any other leaders who had left ex-gay ministry. It's kind of a weird position to be in. And I contacted him just as a support person, and we'd become friends. He contacted me and actually a group of people who have been through ex-gay ministries and said, we would like to have a group here to respond to an apology that Alan Chambers is going to make from Exodus. And I felt like it was something that I was supposed to do. I needed to be there after my involvement in Exodus. It was just like, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what this means, but it feels really important. And so there was a group of 9 of us. Chris was there as well. And we sat and we listened to his read apology. And then we each not responded to the apology so much as told our stories of what happened to us and the impact and pain that came out of our experience with Exodus. And it was probably one of the most profound and powerful experiences of my life to sit in that room and hear the stories.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here tonight and sharing the stories here as well. Is that video available online? I guess I made the assumption, but has Lisa Ling or the TV show made it available yet?
It is not yet available online.
Okay.
They do re-air it. They've re-aired it once. They may re-air it again. You can watch the Oprah Network to look for when it may air again.
The one thing that is online is they have some extended clips of things that were not shown on the TV program. And that's really where you get more of the stories of what we said to Alan Chambers. And if you go to oprah.com/ouramerica, that's where you can see those clips. And there's probably 7 or 8 of them.
Fabulous. Yes. And I wanted to make sure folks know that the Lisa Ling show is called Our America, and then the segment is called God and Gays. And so two of our guests, again, Catherine and Chris, who are here with us tonight, were part of that show. And thank you for pointing out that those clips and the stories that weren't part of the TV show are available online. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about, you know, what were some of the things that really stuck in your mind about Alan Chambers' apology?
Wow.
Let me just acknowledge the fact that it was even happening. I'm sure it was remarkable in and of itself.
It was, because this is an organization that really none of us expected would ever close its doors.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear him say, I am sorry for the damage that Exodus has done to the lives of gay and lesbian people across this nation, it was huge. And to hear him basically say, we were wrong in saying that people can change. And that was the thing that I held on to for so long. It was that idea, you can change. And it was that lie that I bought into that led me down the path that I got into with marriage and everything. And 19 years later, I was saying, wait a minute, I haven't changed. And I've continued to do the program. So to hear him say, yeah, we were wrong with that. And to hear somebody that's a Christian leader, an evangelical Christian leader, stand up and say, we got it wrong, that was huge.
Really, really huge. And just to repeat, that was Alan Chambers apologizing from Exodus International. Did he offer any clues around what's next?
Yeah, he did talk about the fact that they're shutting down, but they're going to be starting a new ministry called Reduce Fear. Is that right, Catherine? Reduce Fear. And it's supposedly some ministry that is going to be helping churches to be more welcoming to the gay community. I would say that most of us are a little skeptical, because ultimately his belief is that being gay is still a sin, or acting on that and living the life is a sin. And so my concern is that there will be some big bait and switch later on, and that it'll still be shaming to people who are gay if they're welcomed into churches and say, well, we welcome you, but... And it's that butt that's a killer.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the big fear of what's... I think people are optimistic that the apology happened. And I think right now a lot of people are accepting it kind of at face value. But there is that kind of like, well, what does this really mean? Is this just lipstick on a pig? Are we just kind of rebranding and changing our... the way we do things, but our core message is still the same, because they still believe that any kind of relationship outside of a man and, you know, a heterosexual man and a woman in a marriage is wrong, is sinful. So, you know, I think there's just that big question mark out there of like, what's going to happen. And I think there's some goodwill there. People are willing to see what happens, but there's also some, you know, just that kind of skeptical attitude also.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to see actions speak louder than words, and let's see what the actions are. And
yes.
Right.
And to clarify something that it took me a bit of discussion to understand, that Exodus International, as an umbrella international organization, they are closing their doors. But the question and the uncertainty is all of the local affiliates and the local or statewide
set up that was connected to Exodus? Like, what's going to happen with all those little entities is the unknown.
Yeah, and it seems like they are going to keep going, and there's actually a new, even more conservative group out there called Restored Hope, and they take Exodus to the extreme, and even our local affiliate has become a part of that.
Oh.
And so it's just a little scary to think of what torch they will be carrying into the future.
Yeah, homophobia is still out there. It's well and alive. We still have work to do. So just because Exodus is closed doesn't mean our work is finished.
Okay. And on that note, let's take a music break. But listeners, stay tuned. We are going to be back and we'll close out the show with some more conversation. Again, Sister Chrissy Fiction is here with us from the Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Also, Catherine Chapman and Chris Hyde are here in studio. And we've been celebrating and focusing on the ending, the closing of Exodus International. But we will have a little bit more conversation in just a few moments. We're going to take a music break from Joan Jett because, well, you can never get enough Joan Jett. I'd encourage you to turn this up. It's called Change the World. That was Change the World from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, encouraging you to be the change you want to see. Tonight we are focusing on the ending of Exodus International. My name is Carla. Here in studio is Sister Chrissy Fiction from the Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. We've also been joined by Catherine and Chris, who were both involved in different ways, but they were connected and involved with Exodus International. Now, I want to take just a moment and make sure our listeners know how to find you guys after the show ends. And so, Chrissy, let our listeners know, how can people find you through the Portland Sisters group?
Again, our website, www.portlandsisters.org. We are also on Facebook. If you do a search for Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, we'll pop up. I'm on there, too, individually. It's K-R-I-S-S-Y, fiction, like not truth, but fiction, F-I-C-T-I-O-N. You can do a search for me, too. Say hello.
Wonderful. And Chris, where can folks find you after the show tonight?
I've actually just recently begun a life coaching and counseling business. It's called New Paths Coaching and Counseling. And so you can find me at www.newpathscc.com.
Wonderful. And Catherine, is there any contact information you'd like to share with listeners?
If anybody would like to discuss any of this further, I do have a Facebook page. You can look me up under Catherine Chapman on Facebook. I'd be happy to continue conversation that way.
Wonderful. Okay. And I want to continue the conversation around Exodus International closing down. There's been some conversation that I've had in the community around the rebranding, you know, that the hate and the anti-gay vibe is still very much out there. But can anyone speak to kind of, you know, what the community should be aware of for folks that are listening and want to get involved and maybe support folks trying to make some change?
Well,
and we there's so many theories. Let me just acknowledge there was some humor before the show because there's so much uncertainty and that so many people aren't really sure what's going to happen. And so I just like encouraging people to kind of pay attention and what is going on around the ex-gay ministries.
I think ultimately, and I don't want to speak too much, but I think ultimately the evangelical church and those sorts of ministries, that message is beginning to die down in our time, and changes are starting to happen in the conservative churches. It's very exciting to see that happening. Even on conservative Christian college campuses, there have been a number of groups starting, saying, you know what, we're here. And we're not changing, and the church has to change. And so I think Exodus shutting down is just one domino in a series of dominoes that's going to fall, and it's going to change that whole conservative Christian environment.
I hope so.
And I just wanted to add, you're talking about, like, what can you do? And I just wanted to encourage people who are gay or lesbian or trans but feel that they want a place, a spiritual home, that there are lots of places where they can call home, even within a Christian paradigm. There are churches, denominations that are supportive and open. My friend Tara Wilkins, who is part of the Community of Welcoming Congregations, you can do a Google search for them. They list tons of denominations and local churches that you can go and be welcome at. So I would just, you know, support you, to encourage you to be yourself and to find a place that you can call home, because there are places that you can call home and will welcome you and not expect you to change who you are.
And if you are somebody who comes from a conservative Christian background and this has been an area of tension, trying to reconcile your faith and sexuality, there are people who have already come through it and walked through it. And there are organizations, there are life coaches, there are churches that are all willing to help in that process. So I would encourage you to reach out to people who have some other experiences besides conservative Christianity, and you'll find some different answers.
And that's so important. I want to shout out to people outside the Portland metro area. I mean, the welcoming congregations when you're in a city, especially here in Portland or some of the larger metropolitan areas, you do have some choices. But for all the folks that are out in rural parts of the state or who feel like you're really alone, I want to acknowledge that. And it can be really isolating, but I'd encourage folks, if you have access to the internet or use your local library, to find even the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, to find them on the internet and to know you can connect with people through technology, which is not the same as going to a house of worship, but to not be isolated and to use technology to connect with other people. And even through an email or through a website, you can make those spiritual connections that are so important.
I was thinking as we were talking about where to go and what to do, and identifying with that, the young people out there who don't know where to go and who are stuck in these communities where they are not accepted for who they are, and they're faking it and they're trying to be something that they're not. For those kids that are listening right now, and even as adults, I was an adult, to go ahead and go out, like the gay pride parade. I mean, you go out to that and you realize there is a whole community here, and it is beautiful and very diverse. And there is a place, absolutely. And it's a huge community in Portland. Really, it is a huge community. I didn't know that. I thought I was like one. I mean, when I went to the Exodus ministry, it's like, this is all I knew. I didn't know anything of the gay community. And I've learned so much. There's so much out there. And it helps you realize that who you are is absolutely beautiful and acceptable and lovely. And absolutely, there's a place for each of us.
Mm-hmm. And another shout out to people in small towns. And I realize for some people, going to stand on the sidelines of your pride parade can be really intimidating or maybe downright dangerous in some communities. But to show up as an ally, you know, maybe you can't come out or it's not safe for you to publicly be honest about your identity, but to be out as an ally, maybe that's safe. And allies are really, really important. So a big cheers to all the allies who have been working on behalf of the rainbow community. In your house of worship, we thank you.
I'll give a big amen to that.
Amen, amen. Well, we need
and
to.
I just wanted ahead. To encourage for those of us who are gay, lesbian, trans too, to continue to be allies to other communities. So we talked about this kind of culture change that's going on, and these big decisions with the Supreme Court and Exodus closing. But you know, they also did away with the Voting Rights Act, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with trying to manage women's health care and women's bodies, and with people of color, our trans folk are falling behind too. And I'd encourage all of us to really change the world, like Joan Jett said, and to come together as a community. And not leave those folks behind.
You know, thank you so much, Chrissy, Sister Chrissy. That's such an important message. We have just about a minute left, I guess, for Chris or Catherine. Any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Absolutely. The thing that I want to take out to the world for the rest of my life is for people to really get it, that you are all valuable and beautiful because you were created by God, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Who you are is absolutely perfectly beautiful, and just be that, and you will find your peace.
Right on.
Yeah, and to know that God doesn't dislike you because you're gay. He loves you. She loves you, whatever you want to call. And you need to know that. And not feel like you're worthless and that God doesn't love you.
Love yourself daily. I do.
Right on. Thank you, Sister Chrissy. Thank you to Catherine and Chris for sharing your message here with us on Out Loud tonight. Thank you to our listeners. We do this for you. Thank you for tuning in. We need to say goodbye this evening. I just want to let you know you're welcome to connect with us on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at KBOO Out Loud. We also love to get emails from our listeners. You can email us at outloudradio@gmail.com. We're going to send you off with one more song this evening. It is titled Love Machine from Goddess and She. Love yourselves and love your neighbor. And until next time, stay proud and live out loud.
I'm captivated, mesmerized by your eyes. Saw you glance at me and kind of look shy. I think you're sexy and you got a nice swagger. We can compliment each other, but make it after. We kiss because I like love being adventurous. I'll place my two fingers across your sexy lips. Shh, don't speak. Let's exchange vibes. We don't need to talk. We could talk with our eyes. Yeah, I know. That's what your eyes said. You like to come over and see my big bed. I got satin sheets. Would you like to touch them? The white and the
make sure that you love them.
I know you want to take a test drive in my ride. The passenger seat, I'll give you a glass of wine. Start the engine up, rev it up and start to go. My love machine has picked up all that spots off.
When you push it to the limit, it can go really fast. Would you like to come along and drive cross country to interior? Yeah, it's pretty funky. We can go explore things I know you never seen. It's way beyond anything you ever could have dreamed. It's really souped up, but it's got a smooth ride. Come here, sexy baby, sit your in my ride. Come in my car and see my. Go for a ride.
Radio is proud to broadcast the 26th annual Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. Thursday through Sunday, July 4th through 7th, KBOO will be broadcasting live from Tom McCall Waterfront Park for the Portland metro area and throughout the state with our partners in Ashland, Bend, Newport, Salem, Warm Springs, and more. Internet listeners can tune